Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and today, as many of you are excited to hear, I get to sit down with my friend Sam. That's going to be the title of the episode, I think, my friend Sam. Sam Hewen returns to the show to talk about the future of Sassenach, his New York Times best-selling book, Clanlands. And yeah, just everything. We talk about his year. We talk about his plans for the future. And we taste through a bunch of whiskeys. Now, if you remember last time he was on the show, we only had about 25 minutes with him. Today, I have him for a full hour and a half. So we drink, we taste, we talk. And this isn't your typical interview. I don't have any questions about Outlander, really. I want to enjoy my time with my friend. So Sam joins me today. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy a different side of Sam. And I hope you learn about whiskey. That's my only goal here. So listen, I want to make a quick thanks to Sam himself for doing the show. Thanks, Alex, his partner. I could not be a bigger fan of Alex. He's a great dude. I hope he sees it. I hope he understands. I appreciate him. And yeah, please take the time to go to iTunes, rate and review the show. Give it a review. Give it 5 stars. Subscribe to the show. Show a little love. And I appreciate you. So without further ado, the man himself, Mr. Worldwide, Sam Hewen. Cheers. Sam, buddy,
hello.
Thanks
there
for coming,
dude. It's been a while. We started this year off together, and it feels like we're almost ending this year off together.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with that. This year has been bizarre. We obviously, last time we saw each other, it was a bit hectic. Things have been both at times just a horrible year. At times it's been good at moments. So it's a weird year regardless. So I'm just glad to see you're okay and things are going good for you.
Well, you are the constant in this madness of this world right now. You're the constant. I know that you're going to be drinking something fabulous somewhere. But it's great to see you, buddy.
Yeah. So I'm starting with a little Irish whiskey, just kind of warm the palate up.
What is it?
So, well, there's a big debate. You know the classic regions of Scotland, right? There's a big debate over terroir on whether or not it's real or if it's just been a marketing ploy. And there's a lot of good points on all fronts. But there's this new Irish whiskey that's out.
I've tried it.
You've had it?
Yeah. I just recognized the bottle there. Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy that that brought back Brooklady from Islay, the genius behind Brooklady, has made it his mission to make single farm, single origin, single crop type Irish whiskeys the same way to see if you can tell differences. So it's a nice palate, warm you up and get you going and you know, get started. So I sent you a box. Go ahead.
Oh, you sent me a, well, you did. I was going to say, I've tried that one because the only reason someone sent it to me for a gift and I just realized it's the same bottle because I recognize obviously the bottle shape, but also the stopper on it is this glass stopper. There's no cork, there's no
plastic,
plastic or anything. It's literally just glass. And I thought that's quite interesting, and I like the bottle. I love the there's this sort of ribbing on the side. It just makes a very tactile bottle. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, the worst thing you can do is drop a bottle. So I'm glad they put some grips in there for you. But there's another company. There's this fantastic guy. I don't know if you might have come across him at some point in developing Sassenach, but a fantastic guy out of New York, a guy named Nicholas Palazzi, who has he's the owner and operator of PM Spirits. They're an importer. Mm-hmm. out of New York, I believe. And he's the first time I saw the glass stopper was in his bottles, and he puts it in everything. And it's, I like them. They can be a bit tough to get out, and it makes me nervous when you hear the glass kind of grind against the glass. But, you know, you don't have to worry about cork drying out or anything of the sort.
Yeah, there were these, I was reading about these bottles that were made way back in, I think the early 1900s in the UK, and they had a marble in the top, and you'd push the marble in and it would sort of act also as a stopper when you're pouring, it would pop out. But they became very collectible. I think it wasn't for alcohol. I think it was for soft drinks, but that's quite a cool idea, having a nice marble on top. But I think all the kids would collect these bottles and break them open just to collect the marbles.
Just to get the marbles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's jump into your year, right? So you've had this insane year. I like to tap the Hooligans from time to time, and I reached out to him and I just said, you know, I'll be sitting down with Sam. If you had the chance to ask a question to Sam, but you know, not something I've seen a million times. You've been asked everything on God's green earth. The most prevailing question was when you find time to sleep. I couldn't find anything really good, but I did find when you find time to sleep, because you seem to be doing something nonstop. I mean, the book.
Yeah.
You and Graham, you and Lady McTavish sold a show. And, you know, I when I talked to you last, there was the podcast was becoming developed, and then it turned into a book and a show, and I couldn't be happier for you.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah. Yeah. We, I saw you in, I think, January, and, you know, I was in America, we went into lockdown, and we started writing. I'm going to have to plug it right now. There it is.
Dang.
This is Graham's version. We were in lockdown, and we had an idea to write the book, and we just were doing that. And to be honest, in a weird way, that whole period, I don't think we would have got the book, because we just had time, right? We had time to write. We had time to sit down and talk about it. We did it all via Zoom, or you know, Skype calls. But really proud of the book and the TV show. I've literally just come from doing some voiceover for Men in Kilts, which is the TV series spinoff, and it's almost kind of finished. You know, we've got 8 episodes, and we're episode 6 was kind of almost locked, and really, really excited about it.
So I sent you a box.
Can we talk about this box? So this box arrived a week ago or so, and it's been sitting in my room. I'm here in London. I'm shooting this movie, and every day it's winking at me. You told me not to open it. I've been desperate to open it. I've been shaking. I know there's something in there, and I'm excited. I'm so excited. This is like Christmas. You are like the alcoholic Santa, I guess.
Well, I try. I really enjoyed our time together back in January, and I thought, dude, this time too. I've got you a little bit longer. I might as well send you something a little special.
Well, then I will return the favor. Unless this is terrible, and then I'll never speak to you again. But I know you. I think it's going to be incredible. Try not to stab myself on live on your podcast.
Yeah, no worries. But, you know, I don't know that. You know, I'm not trying to throw any shade or anything, but I don't think Josh Horowitz has ever sent you anything.
Josh who? I never heard of him. Okay, exactly. So the first thing I can find, and I'm extremely excited about, is because I'm a huge fan. But I'll just take them all out, and then we can talk about it. Oh my God, that's your label in it.
That's Whiskey Pete. That's where Whiskey Pete comes from. For those who
there he is.
Whiskey Pete's the little cartoon fella.
Do I keep digging?
Yeah, yeah. There should be quite a bit in there.
Oh my God! Wow. I'm just gonna. Yeah, it's Christmas. Yeah.
I had to tell.
Oh, wow.
These are officially, for customs purposes, these are personal effects.
Yes, they are. Oh wow! What is? Oh geez, dude. This is possibly the best day ever. What the hell?
Yeah. So that's a bottle. This is my favorite part of what I do on this show. That's a birth year bottle. That bottle was bottled the year you were born. And so the liquid in that bottle has been sitting there for the past 40 years.
Wow.
And everything you've ever accomplished, your shows, your career, your achievements, that bottle has just been sitting there like a time capsule waiting for you to open it and drink it.
Oh, it's been waiting for me this whole time. And now we're finally reunited. I'm so excited. Wow, this is the best. Oh, forget Christmas. Oh my God, there's more.
Of course, I had to send you bourbon, not scotch. Just a little.
Ooh, now what is this?
So here's the tricky one, right? This is the tricky one. I wasn't sure if you were going to like this, so I didn't send you a full bottle. But it's a very, very unique thing made right here in Texas called Rumble Cask Reserve. And the last time you were on the show, we drank a bottle of Balcone Single Malt made here in Texas.
Yes.
Well, Balcones makes something that's half brandy, half rum. It's made from figs, turbinado sugar, and local Texas wildflower honey. It's not quite anything specifically. It doesn't fall into a legal category, but it spent its entire life in an Oloroso sherry barrel, and I picked it for this show. Wow. It's one of my favorite things, and it's at cash strength at 61.3%. So that's going to put some hair in your chest.
Oh, yes, it is a Rumble Cask Reserve. I love that. Wildflower, honey, figs, and turbinado sugar. What is that sugar? Is it?
It's like brown sugar. It's more
brown sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
This look. Is that? Can you send me some M&Ms?
Oh, that's a rattle sound. So you couldn't hear the liquids squishing around.
I thought they're just. I only eat green M&Ms, obviously. So there's more. There's so much in here. This box is never ending. I shall put these on my door. Okay, here we go. This is something, dude. This is too much. You shouldn't have done this.
It was fun. It was fun. I don't know how long you're going to be stuck in the UK, but I figured.
What? Okay. This is something that I love and I don't know an awful lot about, but I'm sure you're going to tell me more. Oh my God. Gregarious Grump Spirits.
So that's Grump. That's my company. You have Sassenach. I own Gregarious Grump. It's a bottling company that bottles single barrel, cask strength, unfiltered things. I don't know if you can tell, but if you turn that bottle up, you should see all the black char at the bottom, unfiltered, floating around.
I can see it. Yeah.
The first round is sold out. So I sent it to you just for you to enjoy, not really to promote.
Wow.
There's nothing else out there right now. So it'll be a few months before we bottle some more.
And we have this is a beauty.
Yeah.
Glendronach.
So Glendronach is one of the most delicious distilleries. They're not sponsors of the show. I just love them. And they did a single barrel in California that's 11 years old. And this bottle right here is proof that you can have young, delicious single malt whiskey. Not everything has to be 18 years old or 20 years old. They do a fantastic 11-year-old, and that'll run you about $100 in California.
I cannot thank you enough already, especially for my rattle. It's wonderful. Also, my house now looks like, a dog has attacked it.
Yeah, but so,
yes,
sorry
wow.
about that.
What an incredible array of spirits. You are now my most favorite person ever.
Well, you've got a bottle of Sassenach with you too, huh?
I do. Freshly, there we go. There's the swag.
So I figured we can start with Sassenach. You can tell us what's going on with the brand, what's the future of it, and start drinking.
Oh, let's do it. Okay, so I have a admission. So I am in London. I'm in some apartment here that I have. So I have no whiskey glasses. I went to go buy some today and I couldn't find any. So I'm having to use, it's your choice.
I would do the wine glass only because it's a bit more for the nose, you know?
I was thinking about that. I mean, you get, obviously that's going to trap it, but I think you're going to get a lot more
aromatics from the wine
aromatics
glass
in that one. So we're going to go wine.
But keep the other one next to you as a dump glass in case you can't finish something.
Good
or,
plan.
You know.
So we have the Sassenach. This is the new, obviously from the new release, and we are a limited release, and we just released in the US. I think 90% sold out now already in the US within 48 hours, which is partly really exciting and partly slightly upsetting. You know, I want everyone to be able to try it, and we've already, you know, sold so much, but we released in 37 states this time. We're really proud about that. And we have more coming at the beginning of the year, 2021. And then after that, we should have a more regular supply of the Sassenach. So as you know, it's hard when you're doing limited edition and such small amounts you're making. And but we're really proud of it. And obviously we have our new labels, the gold medals that we won this year. So 2020 was a good year for whiskey.
For spirits.
Well, for us.
The one thing that they've noted is that alcohol consumption obviously has gone up being stuck at home. So yeah, it looks great. I saw the awards. I'm about halfway through my bottle.
Oh, well, then you need another.
I definitely need another.
We shall work that one out. Just get into this. Who made this? I don't know.
Yeah, who made this?
Who made this rubbish?
Yeah, so the way I heard from Alex is you brought in the first shipment, first half of the year, then COVID kind of delayed the second shipment. So what was just released again is almost gone. If not, I'm almost positive it's actually all gone by now.
Yeah, and we're just about to release in the UK on the 10th of December, and we have a set amount aside for them, which is great because we haven't obviously released in the UK yet. But yeah, by January, we should hopefully then have more regular supply. It's been hard. You know, we've been by the skin of our teeth that sometimes, you know, managing to get things done because of COVID. You know, a lot of things have been shut down. Obviously Scotland as well has a different tier system of coronavirus than England and the rest of the UK, so there's been a lot of a back and forth, but we're there. And yeah
so we actually had a trip planned for France to go Armagnac shopping, and that was
that
in May.
Terrible.
Yeah, it got canceled, and then we had a trip for Scotland that you were potentially going to tag along with to go at Signatory to go cash shopping, and I thought by August we would for sure be out of this, we'd be free, the lockdown would be over, and now everything is being re-locked down, and it's like, okay, well, I am so desperate just to get out of this country to go to Scotland, to go to Spain. I am so eager to get, as I'm sure you are too, just to expand my brand and to do more in spirits. Like, I'm so excited. And it seems like everyone, it's just a waiting game at this point.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know, not to get too heavy about it, but you know, it is up in the air. I think we're over the hump, hopefully. I know America's in a slightly different place to the UK, and you know, I feel for America because it looks like the numbers are going up. But, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully, with a vaccine. And, you know, we're finding ways, even my industry, we're finding ways to keep working, which is great. But, you know, it's been so difficult for everyone, I know, and especially for the healthcare workers, but also for hospitality industry is practically decimated over here. It's really sad. So hopefully, you know, the new year will bring a new kind of normal and perspective, and hopefully we can get back to the sort of the world that we kind of knew, and can start spending time with people again, which I miss.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate.
Oh yes. Cheers. Sandra. Absolutely.
I haven't actually tried the Sassenach now since probably our last release, which was beginning of the year.
It took a minute to get mine, but I posted about it. I was super excited. So we talked about this briefly the first time I saw you. There's this perception within the whiskey world that celebrity brands, because I've said this before, you can launch a brand off celebrity, but you can't sustain a brand off celebrity. If it's too expensive, or if it's just not good, which oftentimes it's just not good, the people will slowly drink or cherish it and maybe save it for later, or just never get around to it because it's not good. And then the brand kind of falls off. I was pleasantly surprised in our last meeting to find out you really are actively involved. You really love whiskey, and it's made very clear in the book as well that you are they call them, it's been a long time. What are they? Anorak? You're a whiskey anorak? I think that's the term. But just someone who just loves the spirit, obviously loves the history behind it. And when I got my bottle of Sassenach in, I was so pleasantly surprised that, Sam, it's good, buddy. Like, I'm very happy to hear.
Yeah, I was so pleased when you said that you liked it. Because, you know, I think that's the thing with celebrity brands as well, you know. And we were always like, we don't want to just be another celebrity brand. There are so many of them, and not many of them are particularly that great. But for us, it was always about the taste. You know, what goes in the bottle is the most important thing. And, you know, we want to continue that as well. And I'm really, really proud of it. You know, it's I think a delicious whiskey. It's hopefully going to introduce a lot of people to whiskey. And also, as you say, blended whiskey, you know, which I love, especially, you know, the Asian blends. And that was the jump off board for us. You know, we sort of looked at them and went, okay, now let's make the Scottish version of that. And I think the snobbery that maybe is around blended whiskey is dying out, or maybe we're hopefully with this, people are going to be re-educated and realize that actually the blends can be incredible and be very, very unique as well, because, you know, we've made something that is unlike anything else. So
yeah, you bring up a great point. We talked about it a little bit off camera. There are tropes or old wives tales that are spread throughout history, that kind of, you know, in the past, historically, blended whiskey was more bottom shelf. It was more, you know, you're talking about the 60s, the 70s, people were putting, but all blended whiskey really is, just by definition, is more than one distillery. Yep. And that doesn't mean that they're all bad, but in the past, a lot of brands have been bad. So that kind of ruins the perception. But there's a great brand out of Scotland, Compass Box, that has been, that has changed the concept, the idea, and the expectation of what blended whiskey is. And your whiskey is in that category. The concept of blended whiskey just means more than one distillery. Every distillery blends, right? So even if it was a single malt, you're still taking, and I love Lafroy, and I love so many. I love everything Edgerdauer does, right? And they'll take multiple barrels, blend them together in-house. Well, if you just were to bring one cask from another distillery and blend it together, it's now considered a blended whiskey, but it's just as good. It could be a 30-year-old cask. It could be, you know, so breaking the barrier or breaking the old tropes of what is blended whiskey is something that you're doing, and I applaud you for it. I definitely want people to understand that just because things were done in the past and they were done bad doesn't mean that things were done now can't be great.
I think you're right. I think especially in Scotland, you know, in the probably like the 70s, you know, early 70s, 80s, you know, these big distilleries started, you know, churning out these sort of blends or whiskeys that, you know, were not great. But they learned how to do mass production, right? And sort of really scale them up. And I think a lot of, you know, we've moved away from that now, but yeah, there is still this hangover from that, that period. But I bought a bottle the other day, Dimple. You ever heard of Dimple? It's this beautiful bottle. It's three-sided. You know, it's a 50-year-old bottle. And it was, you know, this blended, I think it's Highland whiskeys they use in there. But really cool, you know, really nice concept. And I wonder if anyone ever does like the best of Isla blend, you know, like goes around the distilleries. And
yeah, there are a couple, but they're usually done in small batches and usually done, I forget the name of the company, but the label on it, the bottles are all 375s, all half bottles. And the label looks like a chemical element. Like it's got the, you know, when you look at a periodic table, but Dimple, going back to Dimple, one of my very first bottles of vintage whiskey that I picked up at auction was a bottle of Dimple from the 50s. And it was just a brilliant, and back then, honestly, the perception of whiskey back then was so ignorant that their version of bad whiskey is actually quite good today in some cases. Yeah. Like Johnny Walker Red Label in the 70s was actually really solid whiskey. And now it's not viewed that way at all, right? And rightly so. But I'm so excited. So have you thought about doing other things? Well, what's next for Sassenach? What's the vision long term? Are we first and foremost, you obviously want to scale up and hit other countries.
Yeah. You know, so we obviously may want to, you know, share the love with everyone and make sure that everyone has access to it as well. You know, so that's been the main focus at the moment, just trying to do that. And it takes time, obviously. And it's something as simple as we had to go and buy more Oloroso barrels so we could age in them. And that takes time. We've done that and we're still waiting for the liquids that's in there that it's going to be aging. But yeah, I mean, I think ultimately we want to then expand into other spirits or other expressions. So whether we've got a large number of things we want to do, but you know, whether that's you know, looking at different areas of Scotland or different countries. There's a lot of different ways we could go, and I think we've got some great ideas. I'm being very cagey about it because nothing is set in stone yet, but we have some really cool ideas. As you know, my business partner and I, we like whiskey. He never drank whiskey. He never drank till I met him. We like to call him the whiskey virgin, but he's a great, great man. And we think, we do a lot of brainstorming over at our dram. So yeah, watch this space, I guess.
Well, okay. So we'll wait with bated breath, as they say. I'm excited to see what Sassenach does next. I know there's a lot of people just trying to get their hands on it. I couldn't be happier for you. Yeah. I think maybe the Amroot next.
I would love to go to the Amroot next. I'm just can't believe that you're so into this and we didn't. Well, I think we talked about it briefly when we met in January, but the Amroot, I have an Indian restaurant near me that in Scotland that serves Amroot, and I was trying it there maybe last year, and I just was like, this is incredible. And young whiskey, I mean, the one I'd had was about 6 years old. It was, you know, just delicious. And tell me about this one.
So the 100% agree with you. They're the closest thing to Scotch, Scotland Scotch, right? They're the same method, same exact standards. They just love Scotland so much that there are Amroot to me is the one that's doing it the best in India. And I convinced them to give me my own single barrel. And I didn't ask them to do that too, but you can see the whole whiskey neat thing on it, which is pretty cool. Great. But that was the very first time that Texas has gotten one, and they gave me the whole barrel, and we bought the whole barrel. It's gonna be 350 bottles, give or take. And that is my media sample. So you've got the only bottle in existence right now.
No, dude. Shall I send it back?
No. the barrel will be here soon, and we'll release it in market. It'll get released in Houston, but it's just a fun Oloroso sherry. I convinced them to release it at 120 proof, and it'll be about $100 as well. Like, they really just – and I don't get any money for it. It was just a fun project we did, and I thought it would be fun if you got to try the Amroot.
Can I tell you, so this evening, bit of a name drop here. I'm working on this movie at the moment with Priyanka Chopra. She's, I think, originally from Mumbai, and her mother apparently is a big whiskey fan and has asked specifically for me to take the Sassenach, which I will do. If it's okay with you, I'm going to take what left I leave of this and share it with her. I'm sure she would love that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All Oloroso first fill, ex Oloroso sherry barrels, and about the same 6 years, give or take. The age, distillation date, everything should be on the front. But yes, and feel free to name drop. I had Matthew McConaughey on my show a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to do the same.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. How was that? No, he's, they're doing a great job there. Though, I mean, we beat him on the New York Times bestselling list. I was following it
because so right around the time that I was reading his book, Green Lights, I read your book, Clan. I started reading Clanlands because it released right after. And both of you were posting where it set on the New York Times bestseller list. And I was like, oh, dang, oh, dang.
Yeah, well, I think he's doing very well for himself. But this is amazing. I'm so excited about this.
It truly turned out fantastic. And I mean, if you're a fan of Indian whiskey, if you're a fan of Scotch, I think you'll enjoy that.
Especially the color. Color is just stunning, isn't it? It's a real sort of coppery bronze. I mean, the light in here isn't great, but it's oh wow, spice and yeah, like.
I'm actually having a single barrel myself. It's their peated whiskey. It's all Scottish peated barley, ex-bourbon. Ugh. I know you've kind of evolved past the peated thing, but I love
this. Oh, no, I'm still into it. Which is your best nostril? I always use my right. The problem is obviously I'm right-handed. And I always think that's the side that you would smell more on, but also sometimes you get a lot of the alcohol, so it burns. Whereas the left, my left doesn't pick up as much.
I've never actually thought about it, but I guess if I normally go like this first. I always hit my right nostril first. And then I kind of rotate back and forth and kind of.
I think they pick up different things. I do. I think you have a dominant side. At least I'm going to pretend that. But yeah, I tend to use my right. Okay, here we go. I'm super excited. That's such a great color. Wow.
The excitement of this is what this specific hobby is about. The excitement of trying first releases. A little hot.
No, it's, I think I said last time, I say it again, that's my jam.
Yeah, you did. It actually took off a little bit. The Heligans ran with the, that's my jam.
That is stunning. The legs on it are incredible. I mean, it's 60%, but it has this great spice and there's something that happens in the sort of second half of the flavor profile. I don't know. It just like hits you with something, the spice and the richness. And then there's something else. I'm going to have to go in. I'm going in again.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
To me, it's Christmas flavors. And this is my favorite, my favorite time of season for Scotch. My favorite time of season, favorite flavor profile is all dried figs, raisins, those Christmas notes of cinnamon and baking spice.
I think that's it. It reminds me of like, you know, raisins, like dried fruits, you know, like
a really nice cake.
Yeah, Christmas pudding, you know, that sort of really rich caramelly. Oh, that's tremendous. I'm not going to take this to Priyanka's now. Forget it.
Yeah, that wow. I think that total barrel was like 350 bottles or something. All of it's going to hit Houston in the next couple of weeks. And
lucky Houston.
Hey, everybody, let's take a quick break from this week's episode to talk about Waterford Irish Whiskey. The concept of terroir is a hotly debated subject in the whiskey world. The regions of Scotland, do they exist? Are they made up? Is it just marketing? The mastermind behind Brooklady, Mark Rainier, has done everything he can to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that terroir is a real thing. He started Waterford Irish Single Malt Whiskey to discuss single farm origin, single harvest, single everything. I mean, the difference between harvests, the bottlings, different farms. I mean, literally same distillation practices. He's done everything he can to really prove that there's a real lineage to what you're drinking, a real history to what goes into that glass. And every single bottle of Waterford whiskey carries with it on the back a terroir code that you can go to the website, check out Waterford, check out the terroir code, find out where your whiskey came from grain, from farm to glass. It is something that I'm tremendously excited about, and it's at 100 proof, great bump in proof. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Check out Waterford whiskey today. Cheers. Let's do the Glendronach next, and I'll save this for right after that. I want to hit the Balcones Rumble right after the Glendronach, but let's do the Glendronach. Well, the Rumble is so bold and in your face that it's
going to... We also have the Wild Turkey.
That's last. We'll save that last.
Okay, and we have the rum, obviously, which is I'm excited about. So this is all in the right world. It's good. This is the best day ever. Okay, Glendronach for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a single barrel, single cask strength.
I love the cask strength. And for those people that don't know cask strength, I mean, they know if they watch the show, right?
Yeah, if they watch the show, I'm sure they know. But for those who don't know, cask strength just means that it's directly from the barrel, no water added. Traditionally speaking, most spirits in years past were just all watered down to 80 proof before they were put in the bottle. Nowadays, you've seen this resurgence, this growth of beautiful, natural, directly from the cask spirits, and this is definitely one of them.
Yeah. So the color.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I bought a case. I had a buddy in California.
Wow.
Shout out to Adrian. Send it to me.
Oh, my God. This smells... It just reminded me there of like a candy, like a candy I used to have as a kid. And I can't think what it is, but it will come to me. Like pear drops or something. That's why.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, to me, I use the word quintessential probably too much, but it's a classic example of what good scotch is. It's as simple as that. You're talking about good scotch, plain and simple, not some fancy age statement, not some fancy bottle, just a beautiful example of why the Water of Life originated in Scotland.
I mean, isn't it incredible that something, some liquid you just stick in a barrel tastes like that? It's kind of mind blowing, right? That it turns into this like nectar. It's like thick, like honey, and it's delicious, as you say. And they, as you said, Glendronach, I think I love. They do some great bottlings, don't they? It's some really good stuff.
The next up is this Rumble. So I almost sent
Wow. Okay.
I almost sent you the whole bottle, but I was like, if he doesn't like it,
it's, I'm so into this.
It's such a bizarre spirit that I actually, this is a single barrel that I picked. So I went to the distillery, we tasted through 19 barrels, and I loved this particular barrel. So I sent you a Stanley, a flask. I'm sure you could use that flask in some regard.
Do I get to keep this, the flask?
Yeah,
it's a great flask.
You get to keep it all.
What have I done to get all of this? I feel it's just you're too generous.
I don't know how long you'll be trapped in the UK, so I thought I'd give you something to hold you over.
I just hope it lasts till Christmas, right? Which is might not happen. I'm excited. This is incredible. Can I smell it?
Yeah. So go ahead and pour it up. It's also, I want to say, I won't tell you how old it is. I won't tell you all this, but it's also first fill Oloroso. That barrel might have been a little wet because it's darker than death. And it's gonna smell crazy in that glass too.
Actually, kind of like molasses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turbinado sugar, Mission figs, and Texas wildflower honey. This is a wild example of what you can do outside of a specific lane. So it's not whiskey, it's not rum, it's not quite brandy. It's a little bit of everything all rolled into one. In the U.S., we call that the distilled spirit specialty. It's a catch-all category for stuff that doesn't quite fit into anything.
So on the nose, I mean, there's a lot of alcohol. It's like... I think you've actually really well... put this together because that's your job, but it's definitely in the same vein as the Glendronach or the Amrut. There's, from what I'm smelling,
I sent you an Oloroso theme, so that the Amrut's Oloroso, the Rumble is Oloroso, the Glendronach is Oloroso. I thought, I know that the Sassenach has some Oloroso aged spirit in it. I thought, you know, these would all be quite within the realm, tangentially connected to the Sassenach in some way, and at least reminiscent of, in the sense that you could taste it at various proofs. Got it on the tongue, that's for sure. It's okay if you don't like it, but it is intense.
I mean, I don't think it's intense at all.
Really?
Yeah, I love cask strength for a start. And I mean, to me, if I didn't know, I'd be like, that's a whiskey. It's Balcones. Okay, so that.
So last time I tasted you on a single malt of Balcones, but Balcones does a few things. They do rum, they do Rumble Cask Reserve, they do single malt, they do bourbon, the beautiful thing about Texas whiskey is we have a very small history in whiskey making. Our oldest distillery in Texas is about 12 years old. And whereas Scotland's got 200 years on us, a couple distilleries in Kentucky have 200 years on us. These guys are just trying to have fun with it, explore what you can make,
find what tastes good. And I love the Balcones. I mean, I think I've got the bottle of their cask strength and it's fantastic. You know, it's great. And really into American single malts. I think there's a whole nother discussion there, but this, what is Rumble? What is it? Is it what is the spirit?
So it's, in the way that we classify spirits in the U.S. is bourbon is a classification. It actually has a number tied to it. Rum has a classification. Straight bourbon has a classification. This is class type 641, which is whiskey, a distilled spirit specialty. So it's distilled spirits, but it doesn't quite meet the rules for bourbon. It doesn't meet the rules for whiskey. It doesn't meet the rules for rum. So it's a no man's land of distilled spirits. It's not quite brandy. It's not quite, it's a distilled hodgepodge, doesn't quite fit into any category, no man's land of spirit. And then of course they take it, they throw it into an Oloroso sherry barrel, leave it in there for a few years. And then you get this robust, thick, viscous, insane spirit that doesn't have a name other than Rumble.
Love it. Let's get ready to rumble. I think it's very tight. It's very thick, isn't it? I wonder, like a little water, I wonder that what that would do. But it's amazing. And I've never heard of it. And I love that.
Yeah. It's very, tight's a good word. It's very tannic. It's very dry, and a little water would open it up, but this particular barrel, I'm so in love with that. I like to take the punch straight to the face. It's just so good at cask strength.
Yeah. What is it about cask strength? It's, I don't know, maybe your taste buds get more used to it, but I want to get a little slap in the face as I have a dram. You know, it just, anything now that's actually around, 40% or less is just, for me, it doesn't give me that thrill that I'm looking for. And maybe that's,
I gave you a nod in that in the last interview. I asked you the Sassenach, please tell me it's not 80 proof. And you said it's not. Always tell people when it comes to Scotch, a slight bump in proof is a clear indication that you are sacked. Because if you're a distillery in Scotland, you make the most money off a bottle if it's 80 proof. You water it down as much as possible. That's how you make the most money. So by you making it 46%, you are consciously taking a loss of cash for the sake of the spirit. And so just that little bump in proof of an extra 6% ABV is a sign for anyone who's never tasted it. They see it on the shelf. It's 46%. They know that's a little bit more extra love and a little bit less cash in your pocket for the sake of it being a beautiful product. So my hat's off to you.
No, absolutely. You know, it was a really conscious decision. And I remember very early on, we tried it. It was like, oh, let's just try it. We had this already, we had like four blends that we were looking at, and then kind of went down to two. And then we were like, well, let's try it at 40. And then you get into the whole like chill filtering thing. And it just didn't seem right. And I think someone that hasn't tried whiskey before, the alcohol strength might be, I'm not abrasive, aggressive, but it's gonna be like, oh my god, I'm drinking alcohol here. But also then I know a lot of people also add ice, or they like to, you know, they like to maybe a little bit of water in. And I think let's be grown up about it. And I think you just get so much flavor. You said to me you'd like to see this at cask strength.
You remember that? Yeah, I would like to see.
So would I. Yeah.
What the raw product is, because I think the raw. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm my hat's off to you for recognizing a bump in proof is the world and mouthfeel and viscosity. I would like to see. As a nerd for spirits, I'm so excited as to what the Sassenach is capable of. Single barrel, cask strength, finishes, like other spirits. Like my whole nerdiness is just like, dude, if you get the right level of excitement behind Sassenach, your level of excitement, I think that brand will be a mainstay, because there are some celebrity brands that are doing very well. I mean, Ryan, what's his name? Reynolds?
Never
yeah, Ryan him. Reynolds just sold Aviation Gin for $600 million.
Apparently, yeah.
So the potential's there. You get the right level of excitement behind it. But I had a thought I was going to have, but I just lost it. I'm just excited. I think it's a great idea. Moving on to the next one.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you, Rumble. That was, my friend, that was amazing. I'm going to cherish that. I'm not going to share that with many people. I actually have a friend who's coming around tomorrow who's an ambassador for Uncle Nearest. And I think I will share this with him because he's a great fan of good whiskey.
I
So,
wonder
yeah.
who that person is, because I know the owner. I know Fawn. Fawn, Uncle
Okay.
Nearest.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, he's
the
the UK ambassador, but
Oh, okay, yeah,
he's
I don't know him, yeah.
very, very, very good friend. But yeah, I'll enjoy putting him through and yet another tasting, if
Yeah.
there's anything left. If there's anything left. Where are we going next? Let's try the
Sh
rum. Come on,
All
it's
right,
your
let's do the
rum.
rum.
Let's do it.
That's my brand, which was also launched this year. Yeah, Gregarious Grump.
Great name.
Yeah, it's funny. The name came about. So, do you remember meeting my sister-in-law Katie at the in January?
Yes,
Yeah, so
yes,
I brought my wife, my sister-in-law
yes.
Katie.
Yeah, I was hoping that it'll be here right now, but
Well, Katie really wanted to be here as well. I love you, Katie. Shout out to Katie, and
yeah,
Molly.
shout out to Katie. Maybe next time we'll do another one and we'll all be together, maybe.
Once things loosen up and we get back to Scotland, that cask trip is happening. So I'll let you know
Yeah,
what's going on, and if you can come through, it'll be fun.
I'd love that.
But basically, I'm a very gregarious person. I'm very personable. I love drinking with people. It's my favorite thing. So my sister-in-law Katie one time had basically just called me Gregarious Grump, and I just thought it was such a funny, like, I'm a very lighthearted guy, but at times I can come across grumpy. So we just ran with it. And so on the front of the bottle is a picture of Whiskey Pete in a rocking
Yeah.
chair.
Yeah.
And I have a whiskey festival here in Houston. It's the Houston Whiskey Social. We do a big event with like 400 brands and 2,000 people. And so we started bottling spirits for the event, and we started with single barrel cask strength unfiltered rum. And next we're going to Madeira and Port.
Ooh.
I want to go to Spain and buy some casks of Madeira and Port,
Oh,
and then put whiskey in it.
yeah.
And then we're doing cognac and Armagnac. So we just have so much fun with single barrel cask strength stuff. So what you're drinking is single barrel unfiltered cask strength Foursquare, which isn't available anywhere in the state of Texas other than with this brand. And it's the bourbon drinker's rum. It's super high proof. It's column still. It's 12 years aged, or 11 years aged in the Caribbean, 1 year aged in the UK. And
Oh,
it's
what?
just,
In the UK? Wow.
yeah. 1 year aged in the UK. And we just, I'm a rum drinker. I wish I brought it with me. I didn't bring it with me. It's funny. I actually brought your boys, the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society bottles with me, but I didn't bring another rum bottle. I wish I did.
I never really drank rum at all. I just didn't really know it, didn't have much access to it. And then I think one of the first ones was at Appleton, and then I went on to Diplomático, and I mean, tremendous. But it's not, and again, I think it's exactly, it's like, as you say, like a whiskey. It's like you can sit and you can sip it, it can be, it's not something you have to use as a mixer or the bad rums out there. But this smells like very much in the world that we've been at. It's good.
And for those of you peekers out there watching this, distilled spirits, rum, whiskey, bourbon, all distilled spirits are carb-free, fat-free, sodium-free,
Yeah.
gluten-free. All of them are gluten-free. I mean, it's all zeros across the board. It's completely no zero sugar. Even rum is zero sugar, unless you add it to it after the fact. So anything flavored is obviously been affected after the fact, but distillation is purification. And what Sam is drinking, the Sassenach, all of them are just all zeros across the board, keto friendly.
It's interesting when there's a lot of other companies out there that they celebrate that they're gluten free or vegan, and it's kind of interesting because they all are, right? I mean,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's a company here in Texas called Tito's that sold for billions of dollars. And they pioneered the gluten-free thing. Now you might run into cross-contamination and depending on the facility that it's bottled at, but all of that is standard across the board. Gluten-free, fat-free, sugar-free, great for working out.
Wow. That is so good.
And that bottle just won an award, a label award. I didn't submit it to any spirits competitions because when we released it in Houston and it immediately sold. So there's nothing left at the warehouse. It's all out there.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So
because this is going to win awards. That's amazing. And you know what? I keep looking at the bottle. There is like charcoal, carbon, like there's yeah. There's so much of that. I don't even see that. There's so much of the bottom there.
Yeah, those are called tea leaves. That's amazing. Barrel char. It's unfiltered. It's
incredible.
A little history on spirits. Most distilleries have been non-chill, or they've been chill filtration. They've been chill filtering out their whiskeys to remove dissolved solids, fats, lipids, the whole thing. Because if a bottle gets cold enough and it's low enough proof, it gets hazy in color and people think that something is wrong. If it's unfiltered, people see the floaties and they think that something is wrong. So nowadays, we've got a more educated consumer. We can have floaties. We can have char floating around and people don't think there's anything wrong because there's not anything wrong. That is straight from the barrel, unfiltered, delicious Caribbean rum.
It is absolutely delicious, my friend. That is amazing. I feel like I've just been so lucky to have all of these amazing drinks, but this one is really special. So congratulations on that. And let me know when there's more coming because that's amazing.
Yeah. I'll send you, we did a 16-year-old Guyana and a 12-year-old Foursquare and a 14-year-old Belize. We're going to keep going and I'll keep you in the loop. It's fun, man. I mean, tasting spirits and especially having my name on the bottle. It's, you know what that feels like.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Right. Well, when we're in Scotland, you could come and try some Scottish rum because there's a couple of good ones.
I didn't know that Scots made rum.
Well, you, yes, exactly. And I didn't either. And, there is a couple of them being made right now. And, there's actually a Blanco, like a, white rum, which is so good. So good. So, when we're in Scotland, we'll go taste them.
Who I know the botanist is off Isla. It's made at Brookladdy, right? It's a gin. So who's making rum that you know that's also making scotch, or is it just a rum producer?
I think it's just a rum producer. Is Brook botanist? Is that Sky or is it Isla? I'm not sure.
It's Isla.
Isla?
Listen, I've had a couple to drink, so I'm not.
No, I have no idea either. I was interested. That's all. But
Brookladdy, I think yeah. Brookladdy makes the botanist.
They do.
Yeah,
well, it actually happens to be one of my favorite. The Botanist has to be one of my favorite Scottish gins. I mean, there are so many Scottish gins right now; it's kind of hard to keep track. And
well, if you had to pick one as your favorite, who would you say is your favorite, and why is it "Forget Me Not" by Katrina Balfe?
Katrina has just released her own gin, and it's called "Forget Me Not," and I have a bottle in Scotland, so I haven't tasted it yet. I'm excited to, and I think that will be my Christmas, but it's very kind of her. She sent me that while I was down here. But I think she works with this great company that I know who make great gins. But I think I haven't, until I taste it, it obviously will be my favorite. But my favorite gin for a while was Harris, and it was everyone's favorite because of the bottle. It was such a beautiful bottle. But actually, I'll always go back to the Botanist. It's something about it. It's great. But I think the island gins, for some reason, all of the gins coming from the islands are really good.
Yeah, I think I'm not familiar with the complete breakout of Botanist, but I believe they might do a lower distillation proof. And the lower you distill your gin, the more flavor it retains. So the Botanist is one of the most super. I'm a huge fan as well. Anything that comes out of Isla, I'm a huge fan. So I know we're running out of time and we've got to get this turkey bottle open, and I'm a little bit worried about it. So,
well, let's do it. Here we go. So a bottle that has been sitting on a shelf waiting for this moment, for 40 years. Oh God. Is that how old I am?
I think it's 1975. Wait, what is it? 19. No, mine. The one I brought with me is 1975. Your birthday is 1980, correct?
It is.
So that's a bottle from 1980. It's a 1 liter bottle. The fill level has dropped a little bit, so it's going to be a lot more thick. But essentially what I love to do is I love to track down bottles from auction houses or various different sources, estate sales, that basically were bottled the year you were born. And I think it's fun to actually not. Here's the trick. So that Wild Turkey's corks were notoriously bad. So break the seal very carefully, twist it until the tack strip breaks, and then but just a little bit, and then twist it back the other way, and just slowly but surely work it out until it pops.
This poor guy has been sitting there. This turkey has been sitting there for 40 years. So
40 years. Okay.
Wow. Thank you, my friend. Oh, wow. That opened quite quickly.
Now, careful. Yeah, it may have kind of opened, but maybe not opened. So maybe just broke.
I feel like, yeah, it's still in there.
Just rock it back and forth until it breaks.
I think the cap has come off the... Oh, no. We're in.
You're doing little rocks? That's awesome. Do you know how hard that is? I have tried to, the bottles I've sent to people, I've tried to get them to understand how sensitive it is, and it almost always breaks. So yeah. I sent you a bag of backup corks. So definitely don't use that cork again. Replace it with the backup corks. But oh my God, I'm so excited.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Uncle Nearest Santa. Okay, here we go.
All right. So that is a bottle from 1980. Wild Turkey is regarded as one of the most well-respected and well-loved big brands. A lot of the big brands have kind of lost respect over the years.
Oh, my God. So that's like cognac.
This is how beautiful bourbon is. Old bourbon.
That is like a cognac. That's...
Before you sip, sorry, I shouldn't have sipped either.
I want to do this
properly. So, your book, your show, your two shows, the show you just sold, Men in Kilts, your whiskey, Sassenach, I mean, everything you've accomplished, you've talked about it in your book that I think around 30, 31 years old, you were barely getting by. And now you, Sam, buddy, you made it. And so everything you've accomplished, that liquid has been sitting inside that bottle for the past 40 years. I couldn't be happier for you, buddy.
Mate.
Excited to see you, and cheers.
Cheers, my friend. This is the nicest thing. I think it's such a lovely idea, and thank you so much. I can't believe you did that. Such a great evening. I feel...
God, that's fantastic.
It smells like brandy or...
Old bourbon. I mean, the difference was old growth oak barrels. I mean, the trees used back then were much older. The distillation methods were different. They were using cypress fermenters. The whiskey back then, there's just something about old bourbon that's just brilliant.
I have never tasted anything like that.
That being said, I still prefer old scotch. I love old bourbon, but old scotch, that was my first love.
Wow. That's really weirdly. So I know, you know, if something is sitting in a bottle and not in the barrel, it's distinguished. It's old and refined. It's beautiful.
There is something called old bottle effect. Over time in that bottle, alcohol will evaporate off and the bottle will get, as you see, the fill level was in the shoulder. It was much, there's been a lot of evaporation in a sealed bottle. So you've got kind of this old glue, old wood. There's like an actual dusty flavor to it. That's really interesting. Old bourbon is just so, I mean, there's a reason why it's so popular and goes for so much. I hope people are enjoying drinking the whole time.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm not. I can't even talk. I'm. That is incredible. It has like top notes of bourbon. It like there's a, but you wouldn't know it's bourbon unless at first it's so. I can't even describe it. It's, It's just a, it's an incredible, incredible drink. That is amazing. I'm kind of overwhelmed by that, actually.
It reminds me of growing up, Elmer's glue. There's a smell of like, there's a note, and I know that sounds like a bad thing, but it's not. It's a good thing. There's a smell of old. You remember, like, you go to your grand's house and her bedroom smells of, there's like an antiqueness to it. There's old bottle effect is a real thing for old bourbon.
That would be it. You know, like a piece of like pine furniture or some old cupboard or a sideboard that's sitting there and you rub your hand along it and there's just something about it. That's the sort of smell you get. That is, I wish you could taste this. Do you have the same bottle?
No. So the bottle I have here with me is from 1975. Wow. It's actually an Italian export. So it had to go to Italy first and then it came back to the US, which wow. is quite a long way for me to get my hands on it. But it's one of my favorite things. I have quite a few of these bottles. I'm a huge fan of 1980 Wild Turkey. And listen, I couldn't be happier for you, buddy. I think this year has been rough for many in many regards, but I this year has been quite the year of growth, and I my hat's off to you.
Dude, likewise. Thank you so much. I think you are equally doing extremely well, and it's always a pleasure. And yeah, love sharing what's going on in my life with you, and love hearing about what's happening with you. And dude, that rum is amazing. The Amrut, I've got them all lined up here, and actually you did really well. They're varying degrees of you know, sherry, and I shall just stay here.
Well, sweet, man. Listen, take the bottles, keep the bottles, enjoy the bottles. I know you've got some time. I saw on your, I think your Instagram last night, you did a walk around the city a little bit. There were some photos of some great buildings and stuff. So take the flask with you on a walk, enjoy the bottles, and listen, man, cheers.
Cheers to you. Always a pleasure. Cheers to you, my friend. Till next time.